Okay. Let's return for the tenth time to the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Amud Beis. Nachri Shehilchu Es Yisrael Chem Tzorachar Pesach Mutar Vahana. What we saw is that Rashi, both on the Mishnah itself, and later on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, and later on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, understands that the heter over here of Chom Shavu Pesach is built on Igloi Milsa L'Mafreya. What exactly is the background of the Igloi Milsa L'Mafreya that this Chometz belonged to the Nochri over Pesach? So the Gemara has two Ukimtot. The Gemara Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph suggests the Ukimta of Abaye, namely that we're dealing over here with a classic Shibud. We're dealing over here with the classic Shibud, the Chametz is still in the hands of the Yisrael. The Yisrael owes the Nochri money, and the Chametz is still in the hands of the Yisrael. But we have a rule, according to Abaye, Ba'al Chov L'Mafreya Hu Gofer. So, Igloi Milsel Mafreya, after Pesach, when the Zman Piraon comes and the Yisrael defaults on the loan, Igloi Milsel Mafreya, that it belonged to the Goy already from before Pesach. And that's why there's no Ba'ira Ba'imatse. The Gemara then asks, what do we do according to Rava? And the Gemara sets it up in the world of Rav Yitzchak, of Ba'al Chov Kone Mashkon. However, since we're dealing over here with a Nochri from a Yisrael, and on the level of Nochri Yisrael, we don't apply the dinner of Rav Yitzchak. So the Gemara answers, Had amar le me achshav, had lo amar le me achshav. Namely, that we're dealing with a case where there was a Tanai. There was a Tanai of me achshav, that if the Yisrael defaults, then the Chametz is going to belong, the Mashkon will belong to the Goy from the time of the Halva'ah. And that's why we don't have Bayir Abayi Matzin. And it's all built on a Goy Milsa Mafreya. Either according to Abayi, we're dealing with a classic Shibud, or according to Rava, we're dealing with a Mashkon and the din of, and a case of Me'achshav. That's the direction of Rashi. That's the direction of most Rishonim. The Ran, the Rush, the Ravid, etc. However, we saw, this is where we left off last time, that the Rambam and Rabbeinu Ephraim have a different approach. The Rambam in Perek Hey of Hilchos Chametz U'Matzah Halacha Dalid points out Perek Dalet Halacha Hey Yisrael Shehir Hin Chemso Eitzel Ha'akum Im Omer Lo Im Lo Hei Vesil Chamaos Mikan Vaid Yom Ploni Kinei Chametz Ze Me'achshav. This is Yukimta of Rava. Hareze Birshus Akum Vaoso Chametz Mutar Achara Pesach. But then the Rambam adds in Vuhu Shiyeh Oso Zman Shekov Alo, the Zman Piron has to be Kodem Pesach. And then we have the din of we apply the din of Me'achshav. The Rabbeinu Ephraim says the same thing. The problem is, of course, you know, it is not just Rashi, but L'chora, what do we do with the sugya? The sugya is the problem. That's what the Rush over here in Perek Beis, see if Yud, asks on the Rambam. The Rush asks, after quoting the sheet of the Rambam, V'hu shi azman shekavalo kodem ha-pesach, avolim azman achar ha-pesach asur, V'lo nehirali, ha-amrinan le'el, aliva da'abayi, yamris bishlam afreya hu gove, mishim hachi mutar bahano, yibrishus nachri koi. That we're talking over here about a case where really the chametz is based Yisrael, elo she'en achrayis ala Yisrael, amrinan kevet afreya hu gove, chazinan ki'ilu kodem ha-pesach hayu brishus goi. V'kol she'ken l'rov, odam ha-behedya, k'nil ha-me'achshav, d'ishtakach l'mafreya haya kanoi kinyan gomer. Namely, the fact that we're building on igloi l'milson afreya is not some hamtza'a, it's not some creative learning of Rashi and the other Rishonim. It's shot in the sugya. The sugya builds itself on igloi l'milson afreya. It builds itself on Ba'al Chov l'mafreya hu gove. It builds itself on on the world of Me'achshav. That's the issue that all the Rishonim have with the Rambam and Rabbeinu Ephraim. So what the Magid Mishnah and Rabbeinu Ephraim point out is that in Achinami we have a sugya, but we also have a Tosefta. And the Tosefta, black on white, brings in the concept of Koden Pesach. The Rosh over here quotes the Tosefta, Vachitami Tosefta, Nachri Shehilvas Yisrael Achemtso, V'amar Lo Imlo Basi Koden Pesach. In other words, that over here, where everything, this Man Piron, appears to be Koden Pesach. So on one hand, we have our Sugya. On the other hand, we have the Tosefta. And that's what pushed the Rambam and Rabbeinu Ephraim to learn like the Tosefta. Now, this is very problematic, Lachora, because the Tosefta, there are other ways of learning the Tosefta. The Rosh suggests that the Koden Pesach is in terms of the Omar Lo. That when was this Tanai made? The Tanai was made Koden Pesach, but not that the Imlo Basi Koden Pesach. Omar Lo, Imlo Basi, and the Koden Pesach goes, so it's written, Omar Lo, Koden Pesach, Imlo Basi. In other words, if I don't pay you after Pesach, then we're going to have this din. That was the Rosh's understanding. The Rabbeinu David also gives another ukim to the Tosefta, talking about a case where there's no Me'achshav. If there's no Me'achshav, then it has to be Koden Pesach, according to Rava. But if there's Me'achshav, there's no need for Koden Pesach. Then the Tosefta can be neutralized. But what in the world do we do with the Sugya? How can the Sugya exactly be neutralized? So the Chora, Sugya can only be neutralized if we have another Sugya. If we have some other sugya which tells us that that when we have this machlokus between the Tosefta and our sugya, we're going to go after the Tosefta, then we can neutralize our sugya. Where do we find that other sugya? So over here, both the Magid Mishnah and Rabbeinu David point to a sugya later on Daf Mem Vav. Let's look together over there. On Daf Mem Vav. The Gemara, that we have a Mishnah that moves over from Mem Vav Amud Aleph to Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis. The Mishnah deals with the case of Ketzad Mafrishin Chala Betuma B'Yom Tov. It's on Pesach. Someone wants to bake matzah on Pesach. He wants to bake matzah on Pesach. He has to be Mafrish Chala. And the question is, and we're dealing over here with dough, which is Tameh, namely that this chala is going to be eino ro'oi le'achila. How are you going to mafrish the chala? What is the issue that we have a heter of ochel nefesh on Shabbos to bake that which is ro'oi le'achila? On Yontif, we have a heter on Yontif to bake that which is ro'oi le'achila. This chala tmeyo is not going to be ro'oi le'achila. So lechor, we have no heter to bake it. If we're not going to bake it, that means to leave it. If we're going to leave it, it's going to turn into chametz. How are we allowed to allow chametz to turn into chametz? How are we allowed to allow dough to turn into chametz on Yontif? That's what bothered the Gemara. By the Mishnah, ketem afrishim chala betuma biyom tov. So Rav Eliezer has a patent. Lo tikari leshem ad shetofe. First, you're ofe all of the. Of the dough. First you're ofed. And when you're ofed currently, so, you know, it's the challah is simply potential. It's not really there. After you're ofed, and it's no longer a problem of chametz, then be mafresh a certain part as challah, and that in Achinami will not be able to be eaten. But when you were ofed, we had no idea what's going to be challah. Namely, that's we have a patent. Rabbi Ben Desera offers another patent, Tatil Bitzonin. Simply take this dough and put it in the freezer, that the dough will not be able to rise. Namely, we're going to prevent it from becoming chametz. And keep it in the freezer until after Pesach. And after Pesach, we'll take it out of the freezer, and then it's no longer a problem, and then we'll allow it to rise, etc. However, Rav Yeshua says, why do you need a patent? Amar Rav Yeshua, lo zehu ha-chametz she-muzharin alav ba-yira o ba-yimatze. This chametz doesn't belong to anyone. It doesn't belong to the Jew because it's challah. It doesn't belong to an individual kohen because it hasn't yet been given. So it belongs to Shevet Kohuna. Who says that there's a concept of Bayi Rabbi Yimotze on Shevet Kohuna? The Torah speaks about Shalcha'iya Torah. This is not yours. It's not Chavercha. It doesn't belong to any Jew. So there's no problem. Mafrishasa. You mafrish the dough. Minichasa ad ha'erev. im hechmitza hechmitza. And then, so this chametz doesn't belong to anyone. It's like it's hefker. There's no problem over here of vayiro vayimatzei. So the Gemara asks, what over here is the machlokas between Rav Eliezer and Rav Yoshua? Rav Eliezer kanirev views this chametz as belonging, as relating to the Yisrael. Rav Yoshua says it no longer relates to the Yisrael. So first the Gemara raises the issue that the Yisrael has certain zuchuyot. He has the zchut to choose the kohen. Maybe that zchut is worth money. And if it's worth money, maybe that gives the Yisrael some sort of a latent ownership in the chametz. More rejects it. No. Tovas hanah eino mamon. That's not considered to be ownership. V'hochel b'ho'il kamiflegei. Rav Eliezer savar amrinan ho'il. V'iboi ishtalala mamonehu. Rav Yeshua savar lo amrinan ho'il. That here we have a question of where that this chala can be reversed. Namely, the status of the ownership of the challah can be reversed. We have a Yisrael who said, this is challah. Currently, it belongs to Shevet Kohuna. But whenever we have a situation where you create a bailus via dibur, you can also renege that bailus via dibur. That's the world of heter nedarim, of she'elah, that over here, you can simply go in front of a bezdin and say, I made a mistake. I don't want this dough to be the challah. And the Beis Din will say, muter lecha, muter lecha, muter lecha, and the dough returns to being yours. And once it's yours, you're over by Yirah, by Yimatzeh. So since this dough, in potential, allows itself to go back to you, that's considered to be mamone. The ho'il turns it into your mamon, and you're responsible by Yirah, by Yimatzeh. You're responsible. So, say that Rabbeinu David and the Magid Mishnah, this Gemara is the source of the Shita of the Rambam and Rabbeinu Ephraim. That currently we have a mashkon. This mashkon is going to belong to the goy lemafreya if the Jew doesn't pay his loan. But when, in other words, if we say that the loan is going to come up only after Pesach, so then yitachin, that at any point during Pesach, the Jew would pay his loan. The moment the Jew pays his loan, this mashkon then belongs to the Jew. And then the Jew would be responsible for Bayirah u'bayimatzeh. We have the same ho'il in the world of the mashkon as we have in the world of challah. Just like the status of challah can be reversed, in achinami, if it's not reversed, it belongs to Shevet Kohuna, and then there's no Bayirah u'bayimatzeh, but it can be reversed, it can go back to the Jew. So also the mashkon. If things continue as they are currently, the Jew has not paid his loan, is not paying his loan, will not pay his loan, then we say that this mashkon belongs to the goy and there's no bayirah bayimatzeh. However, since ho'il, the Jew always has the option of paying the loan, and were he to pay the loan, then this chametz would revert to being his, that already would be considered to be mamono. The same way over here, by challah we say it's mamono. Over here, by the mashkon, we'll view it as mamono. That's, in other words, that's what's suggested by the Magid Mishnah and Rabbeinu David to be that which stands behind the shita of the Rambam and Rabbeinu Ephraim. That's why they have to set it up as a case where the Zman Piraon was before Pesach. Namely, when Pesach entered, it's already too late for the Jew to pay. The time of payment went. The mashkon already belongs to the goy. Baal Chol Lamafreya, we have a Meach, it already belongs to the goy. It belongs to the goy totally. And so there's nothing to talk about over here in terms of a Chiyuv Bayir Bayimatzeh. Were we to have a time of payment after Pesach, then we would be in the state of suspended animation. We wouldn't know what is going to happen. Maybe the Jew ho'il, the Jew has the option of changing the ownership of this mashkon to be his ownership. That is, we would apply the din of ho'il, just like the Gemara on Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis applies the din of ho'il. The Rishonim, who disagree with the Rambam and Ephraim, they say, how can you compare? How can you compare these cases? These are apples and oranges. How would you distinguish between the case of challah that the Gemara calls reversible, and therefore we have a ho'il, we're going to view it as the responsibility of the Jew, and the case of the halva'a, where these Rishonim say you would never apply ho'il. You would never go ahead and say ho'il that were the Jew to pay it would belong to him. How can we distinguish between the case of challah, where the Gemara does apply ho'il, and the case of mashkon, where we want to suggest that maybe we can't apply ho'il. What distinctions can you make? Yes?
One here, it's not just dibur, it's
right. In other words, you could say ho'il that when all you require is dibur, all you have to do is go in front of a bezin and say, I changed my mind, then we would call that's potentially the Jews dough. However, over here, it's not enough to say it changed my mind. I have to pay. In other words, I have to do an act. I have to change the status quo with an action of paying money. There, that's not a status quo ante. That's not something that we view as so easily reversible. People don't have cash on hand to pay off loans. So the hoil, simply when it's dibur ba'alma, there you could apply hoil. Masha enkein, when you're going to require a maisa, who says that hoil would apply if you're going to require a maisa? That's one distinction. What would be another distinction? Where is the dough? In the case of the Mishnah Daf Memvav, the dough is in the hands of the Jew. All that our question is who does it belong to? But it's in the hands of the Jew. Mashen came by the Mashkon, which we already transferred this chametz to the goy. Now we're going to have to bring it back. In other words, so it's not so much of a hoil. Namely, the situations are not commensurate. They're not exactly the same case. We have over here two very, very different situations. So we have over here a question, as we could say, the machlokes between Rabbeinu Ephraim and the Rambam on one hand, and all other Rishon on the other hand, is how far do we take Hoil? How far do we take this din of Hoil? In Achinami, no one disagrees that there is a din of Hoil. The question is whether we would apply it also to the case of Halva'ah, or we limit it to the case of Challah. Are these distinctions meaningful distinctions? Are these distinctions not meaningful distinctions? That's what comes out after reading Rabbeinu Ephraim, after reading the Rabbeinu David and the Magid Mishnah. That's what it appears to be a question over here in terms of degree. Does Hoel apply or not? Yes? Excuse me? Yes? On one hand, you're correct. The question is as to whether that's relevant because l'chora, the payment of the loan is totally up to the Yisrael. Namely, even if the goy says, no, I'd rather keep the mashkon and you keep your money, that's not the option of the goy. That's the Yisrael has the option of being poted the mashkon. And so in Achinami, you're correct that there are two people involved, but the decision of pidyon, the decision of payment, the cholera is totally in the hands of the Yisrael. He has that right to be poda his mashkon.
And Malda has to take it back whenever he wants, even before the Zman Peron or the Zman.
Excuse me?
The Malda has to take back the mashkon, take the payment even before the Zman Peron.
L'chora. The Zman Peron is the point in time at which the mashkon now belongs to, retroactively, now belongs to the... To the Malva. But until then, until the Zman Piron, that's when the Malva has his option of being quoted the Mashkon. Okay. What?
The
Lova has the option of being quoted as Mashkon.
But the understanding isn't that until that time the Malva doesn't have to agree?
No.
The Malva has to be prepared to take back the money anytime the Lova wants.
And return the mashkon. And return the mashkon. That's the ikar. Now, it's of course over here. The lover wants his mashkon back. That's why he would be poded. That's why he would pay. And at any point, he can get his mashkon back. You're correct that if there had been no mashkon, you know, then we have a concept of stam havo shloshim yom, etc. So then the malva could say, I don't want the money back until this man piron. But over here, they were dealing with a mashkon, and you know, it's in the picture. So then the lover always has this option of being poded the mashkon. So that's one way of understanding. That's, in other words, if one reads through Rabbeinu David and the Magid Mishnah, I think that's the conclusion we were to come to. However, what I would like to suggest, perhaps, is a broader option. The language of the Gemara over here on Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis is what creates this dough, what brings it into the world of... What brings it into the world by Rabbi Yamatzeh is whether it's mamone or lav mamone. Who does it belong to? Bedine mamonos. And the Gemara suggests that maybe tovas hanaa we would view this dough as belonging to the Yisrael. We say no, tovas hanaa lav mamonu. Maybe hoil, that's the machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua as to whether we're going to say hoil. If we say hoil, then mamonahu. We saw, if you recall, at the beginning of the second parak, the first few weeks when we were learning, we came to a Tosos who pointed out that lechora bailus isn't the only factor which is involved in creating vayiro vayimotzei. If you recall back on Daf Kaf Beis Amud Aleph, we dealt over there with the chametz that was going to be, that Kaf Alef Amud Aleph, that was going to be snatched away by the chaya, and that maybe there is no ein zeh matzui kevan shein yodua hechanu. Then maybe on top of bailus, we also require a concept that it has to be matzui, because of the language of the pasuk lo yimatzei. The question that we didn't discuss, but that we really could have discussed had we been learning the first perek, is that perhaps maybe there is no need for ba'alus at all in terms of ba'yira u'ba'yimatzei. Maybe all you require is a world of matsui. Maybe all you require is that we can have a situation of something being matsui and then already be over in ba'yira u'ba'yimatzei, and that can impact very, very much on our sugya. Our sugya may not be a question of who owns the chametz, but rather, is it enough that the chametz be matsui to the Jew, and that itself would create a bayiro bayimatzei? Where do we find such a concept? So we find this concept in a Gemara that we already learned from the other side of the coin. If you go back to Daf Hei Amud Beis, we had the Gemara over there that we dealt with in the sugya of Davar Gomamamon Kamamon Gamei, that we find five lines from the bottom. That you have chametz that belongs to a goy, but you have to get rid of that chametz even though it belongs to a goy. Why? You have achrayus. The moment that you have achrayus, even though it's not yours, the chametz belongs to a goy, but you have achrayus, maybe this brings you into the parsha of Bayira u'Bayimatzei. Namely, that even though this doesn't belong to you, the Achrayus is going to bring you into the parsha. How? So if we have a din b'chol ha'Torah kula, that Achrayus is considered to be Bayilus, we'll apply it over here as well. Ha'ela l'man do'amar lav k'mamon dame ma'ika l'meymar, shayni hocha do'amar lo yimatzei. That the Gemara over here offers a possibility, two ways of understanding how Achrayus is going to bring you into the picture. One is that Achrayus is called ownership. That's the din of Davar Goma Mamon Kamamon Dame. That since this is Goyim Lamamon, you have Achrayus, it's as though you own it, and therefore you're Chayav and Bayiro Bayimatzei. The other possibility is that B'chol HaTorah Kula, Achrayus is not ownership. However, we have over here unique Zeres HaKosuv, that even though something is not yours, as long as it's lo yimatzei, as long as it's matsui to you, as long as you have a connection to it, you have responsibility, that's already considered to be bayiro bayimatzei. And we have a gzeras akosuv of lo yimatzei that goes beyond ownership. Something can be not yours, and still you're going to be chayev on bayiro bayimatzei. Yes? That's when you have no connection to it. But that's if you have no connection to it. But if you have a connection to it, now what's the connection that over here? Here the connection is one of achrayus. However, yitzachene would go beyond that. When we began also in the first week, we dealt a little bit with the world of hefker. And we saw over there, just bringing you back to things we already saw in Iyun, but a long, long time ago, the very, very first Chidushei HaRamban that we have imprinted is on Daf Dalet Amud Beis. And there he talks about Bayiro Bayimatzei, and he has a suffek. Va'od yeshli suffek behefker. That he has a question, what happens if we have a Jew who was mafkir his chametz, but it's still in his property? Is there Bayiro Bayimatzei on such chametz where the Jew has no ownership? He was mafkir it. But on the other hand, it is matsui. So there, the Ramban has a suffek that maybe the whole din of shelcha iyataroe is only if it belongs to someone else. Aval here in this case, ihu matzi zochei bei benafshei tfei. In other words, over here, it's very simple for this person simply to pick it up. V'gamze efshar. Okay, in other words, and therefore there would be bayiro bayimatzei, namely. That again, that maybe matsui can serve as an alternative track. You can have bayiro bayimatse when something belongs to you bedine mamonos, something you have bayilus, or you can have a case where it's not yours bedine mamonos, but it's matzui to you. So one case could be achrayus, that's the gemara over here, the gzeres hakosol yimatse. Another case could be something which is hefker, you have the potential of being zocha, very simply. There's no need for, you know, what Zimmerman pointed out, of a tuta tango. It doesn't belong to anyone, you have to buy it from him. He has to give it to you as a gift. It's hefker. It's in your rishus. All you have to do is simply want to be zocha in it, and automatically it's yours. You'd be koneh with kinyan chatzer. That's already, according to the Ramban, a suffix, maybe it's matsui. However, there is also a third case, and this is the Rambam over there in Hilchos Chametzu Matzah, just moved down two halachos. The Rambam over there, halacha zayin. Move from halacha hey to halacha zayin. Perek dal halacha zayin. Omer Yisrael la'akum. Let's say we have a case of a Jew and a goy who meet one another 5 days before Pesach. And the Jew tells the goy, ad she'ata lokeach b'mana bo v'kach b'matayim. I know you want to buy chametz, so why go to the store and buy it, you know, with price X? In other words, you know, I'll give you a better price. I'll give you a better price. Ad shal tel kech mi akum, bo vekach mi Yisrael. Shema etz tarech vekach mimcha achar pesach. And you ask me, why am I doing this? Why am I giving you a bargain? Because maybe I want to buy it back from you after Pesach, so it pays for me to have this chametz in a place where it's available to me after Pesach. Then we're dealing over here with a classic case of a Jew who has a lot of chametz before Pesach. He doesn't want to burn it. He wants to sell it to a goy, but he wants to sort of hint to the goy that he'd like it back after Pesach. So this is okay. It's fine. The Jew can hint it in that way. He can give the goy a good bargain. He'll tell him, look, I'll buy it back for much more than it's worth. You know, I'm giving it to you because I'd like to buy it back, and so, you know, it pays for us to have this relationship. Aval, he says, lo yimkor velo yiten lo al tnai. However, it can't be an explicit condition. I'm going to sell you my chametz on condition that you sell it back to me. V'im asakein, if we have a Jew who went ahead and sold his chametz to a goy on condition, b'tanai, that the goy will sell it back to him after Pesach, hareza over abayiro abayimatzei. Then, in other words, over here, nothing doing. The Jew is not going, it's not going to help. The whole reason the Jew wants to sell it to a goy is to get around bayiro bayimatzei. So as long as he's just hinting to the goy, he's giving him good conditions, so that's fine. But the moment he would be masna the sale on a return, that's no good. Question is, this is what all the Rishonim on the Rambam, all the Parshim on the Rambam asked, just a minute. Why is it no good? What's wrong with having a tanai? Self, we know there are two kinds of tanaim in the world. There's a tanai of im and a tanai of me'afshav. The difference is that when you have a tanai of im, if let's say I'm mekadesh, a woman, if she loses 20 pounds, im, right? If she loses 20 pounds, and she goes ahead and loses the 20 pounds, from when does the kedushin take place? I tell a woman, Harei mekudesh etli im terdiba mishkal esrim kilo. When does it take place? When she loses the 20 pounds. So if over here we're talking about a case where I say, I'm selling it to the goy on condition that the goy sells it back to me, that means that until the goy sells it back to me, it's mine. So we understand why he's over in bayiro bayimatze. However, we also have a world of me'achshav. I tell a woman, Harei mekudesh etli me'achshav, im terdi esrim kilo. Then, the moment she loses 20 kilo, when did the kedushin take place? From now. So why over here would this be a problem in terms of selling chametz? Why can't I sell chametz to a goy and say that when you sell it back to me, then me'achshav, it'll be mine. I want to sell you the chametz if you sell it back to me with the tanai of me'achshav. In other words, so then l'chora, what we're saying is that when the goy sells it back to the Jew, it turns out that before Pesach, it already belonged to the goy, namely that the sale went through l'chatzchila. Why would the Rambam say, im osa kein hareza over abayiro abayimatze? Why not? Why lo yimkor v'lo yiten al tanai? Why is the tanai of me'achshav not good? So here the achronim are medayik in the Rambam that if you have a situation where over Pesach it's going to be determined, sometime after Pesach it's going to be determined whether the chametz on Pesach belong to a Jew or to a goy, then the Jew is over by Yerobah Yimatzah. Namely, that even though it turns out that the owner of the chametz was a goy, but since it was unclear whether that would actually be the case, because the goy could always decide after Pesach not to sell it back to the Jew, and then the tanai would be mufka, and then it would belong to the Jew, this is already considered to be by Yerobah Yimatzah. Namely, the fact that the Jew is still in the picture, the fact that that it's not clear on Pesach who is going to be owning the chametz, that already turns the Jew into being over by Yerobah Yimatzeh. This is considered to be matzui. We have a matzui of achrayus, that's the Gemara in Daf Hema days. We can have a matzui of hefker, that's the suffix of the Ramban. We could also have a matzui of something which belongs to a goy, theoretically. However, it's not clear that it belongs to the goy, because it depends whether he sells it back to the Jew or not. If he sells it back to the Jew, then l'mafreya belonged to the goy. If he doesn't sell it back to the Jew, then the sale never took place and it belonged to the Jew alone. That's also the according to Ram over by Yerobah Yimatzeh. Now let's come to our case. We have a case of a mashkon. That this mashkon is currently in the hands of the goy. But the Jew has the option any time until this man piraon of being poda the mashkon. He has the option any time until this man piraon of paying back the loan, and then the mashkon will belong to him. So were this man piraon to be after Pesach, yitachein ma'od, that the Jew would be over and by Yerobah by Yimatzeh, because he's still in the picture. It's still matzui. This is parallel to the Gemara of Hoil. It's not the Gemara of Hoil. The Gemara of Hoil is that we view it as mamono because of the Hoil, because the Jew could go in front of a Beis Din, so we say now it's mamono. You don't have to go so far. By Yerobah by Yimatzeh, you don't need mamono. It's enough simply that it be matzui. It's enough that the Jew be in the picture. If the Jew is in the picture, that we send around the Rambam and Perek Zayin, that's already enough to be over by Yerobah Yimatzeh. Maybe that's why the Rambam says, V'hu shiyeh oso bizman shekava kodem Pesach. Namely, we can't have a situation where things are up in the air over Pesach, where the Jew at any moment could be poded and then it would belong to him. Even though the owner is the goy, we have a din of Baal Chov l'mafreya hu gove, we have a din of Me'achshav, but since the Jew always has the option of paying back the loan, that's the way the Magid Mishnah and Rabbeinu David explain Rabbi Ephraim and the Rambam, since the Jew can always impose it back, that would be enough to make it matzui. It would not be enough necessarily to make it shelo, that's the din of Hoil, but it could be enough to bring it into the world of being matzui, that the Jew is still in the picture, and he'd still be over and by Yira Ubayi Matzeh. That over here could very well be the issue of the Zman, whether it's Kodem Pesach or La'achar Pesach. Namely, according to all the other Rishonim, they would disagree with this Rambam and Ephraim. Why could they disagree? What are two reasons they could disagree? They could say either that this whole din of matzui is that we don't hold of. In other words, the reason that that by achrayus this by yerobah by yimatzeh is because of davar gol mamamon kamamon dami, because we have it that achrayus is like bilus by hefker. So the Ramban has a suffix, but the bottom line of the Ramban also is that there's no by yerobah by yimatzeh by hefker. We don't say since he could be zolch and it belongs to him. By the world of selling chametz, this is the Rambam who introduces lo yimkor v'litem lo al tnai. That's not a Gemara. There's a Tosefta that says it has to be a machira gemura, but the Rambam understood that Tosefta is saying it shouldn't be a tnai. But the Gemara doesn't say that black on white. They don't have to agree. Maybe even if it's al tnai, there would be no bayira ubayim matzei. And so over here in Mashkon, who's to say that there is a category of matzui? The category is one of bailus, that it has to be yours. And maybe you have, on top of Bailus, maybe you need also Matsui. Maybe you need two things. It has to be Bailus and Matsui. That's the Tosfos on Daf Kaf Aleph Amud Aleph. even though it's yours, if the chaya hid it and you can't find it, it's not matzoi. Then you need bailus and matzoi. But to say that matzoi could substitute for bailus, ma pitom. Or you could say, and this will come to in a few minutes and see whether it's true or not, maybe they also agree there's a din of matzoi. The question is, what's called matzoi? Maybe achrayus is called matzoi. Maybe hefker is called matzoi. Maybe if there's a tnai, that would already would be called matzoi. But who says that since the Jew could be poeted back, that's enough to be considered to be matzoi? Namely, the question over here would be in terms of how do we define what the level of matzoi which is required to be over and by yiro by yimatzei. Why am I suggesting that? Because our Mishnah has a Sefer as well. Let's look at the Sefer of our Mishnah. Back on the Lamed Amid Beis. Yisrael Shehilva Es Hanochri Al Chemtso. Here we have, everything is turned on its head. We have the Goy being the borrower, the Jew is the lender, the Chametz is the Mashkon. In other words, the Goy gives chametz to the Jew, that if I default on my loan, you can keep this chametz. This chametz is currently in the rishus of the Jew. So the Mishnah says, Achar Pesach Aser Bahanoah. Why do we say in this case, Achar Pesach Aser Bahanoah? So the Gemara, Andaf Lamed Aleph Amed Beis, says that in this case, where the Jew took the chametz from the goy, so our Mishnah, the Gemara says, goes like Rav Meir. Rav Meir savar kavachomer Yisrael mi Yisrael kone. If we have a din of Rav Yitzchak, when you have two Jews, baal chov kone mashkon, so kavachomer that Yisrael mi nachri lo kol shekein, kavachomer that when a Yisrael takes the mashkon from a goy, certainly we say baal chov kone mashkon. And since ba'achov kone mashkon, that's why we have ba'yiro ba'yimatzei. That's what the Gemara says. Tosus over here, Yiramaslub Rav Yitzchak Kamiflege, says, just a minute. How can you apply Rav Yitzchak's halacha to our Mishnah, Tema? HaRav Yitzchak lo ka'amar dekoni mashkon, the middle Tosus and the Medalef in the days, ela shelo bishas halva, kenemuchach b'ho umnin. There are two types of mashkon. One is a mashkon which is given to enable the loan to get off the ground. I don't want to lend money unless I have an orev, unless I have a guarantor, unless I have a mashkon. That's what we call the mashkon b'sha'as halvah. And then we have another type of mashkon where we have a loan which is outstanding, and then the malva goes to the court and says, this lova is not paying me back. And the court says, you're right, that's not fair. And it tells the lova, look, we'll give you an extension to pay back the loan, but in the meantime, give the malva a mashkon. And then we find the parash in the Torah, the Shliach Bezdin stands on the threshold of the house, the Lova goes into his house, he chooses whatever mashkon he wants, brings it out to the Shliach Bezdin hands it over to the Malva, and this is the mashkon shelo b'sha'as halva'ah. When Rav Yitzchak said, ba'al chov kone mashkon, according to Tosus, it's only the mashkon shelo b'sha'as halva'ah that the Malva can view as a temporary piron. That's the Baal Chov Kone Mashkon. V'hacha, but our case, Yisrael Shehilva L'Nachri Al Chemtso Tnan. Our case, the Mishnah says that the Jew was Malva the Nachri because he got the Mashkon. I mean, the Mashkon in our case was the condition of the loan. Our Mishnah is talking about Mishkano B'Shas Halva. The Jew was only willing to lend money to the Goy because he got this Mashkon of Chametz from the Goy. That's a diuk from the Lashon of the Mishnah. Yisrael Hilva es Nachri al Chemtso. And Tosa says, the Mashma b'shas halva. And that's what the Diuk in the Gemara in Baba Metzia is. The Katani Hilvo al Hamashkon Shemer Sachar. And the Gemara asks, I it says Shomer Chinam. Well, Meshani had the Mishkano b'shas halva, had the Mishkano shalash halva. And the Gemara asks, how can you make such a distinction? Ha'idi v'idi al Hamashkon Katani. Whenever the Mishnah or Braisa uses the language of al Hamashkon, it implies b'shas halva. And Rav Yitzchak Halacha was never said on a Mashkon B'Shas Halva. We'll see later on why. But that's Tosus' Kasha. How can the Gemara build our Mishnah on Rav Yitzchak if Rav Yitzchak talked about a Mashkon Shelo B'Shas Halva and our Mishnah is talking about a Mashkon B'Shas Halva? So what does Tosus answer? V'yesh Lomar Dochi Perusho. Kevan dibishas halva'a koneh legamrei kidei Rav Yitzchak. Since we have a din of balchov koneh mashkon in a mashkon shelo bishas halva'a, im kein chametz yesh lanu lachoshvo ki'ilu hu shelo la'avor alav lo yimatze af bishas halva'a dechashvinan lei matzui. So what does Tosfos say over here? He says that in a chinami, certainly when we have a mashkon shelo bishas halva'a, that belongs to the Malve. It'll belong to the Yisrael. He'll be over by Yerah by Yimatzeh because it belongs to him. When we have a mashkon bishas halva'a, we don't have a din of Baal Chov Kona mashkon. This, b'dine mamonos, still belongs to the Love. It still belongs to the Nochri. However, why is Yisrael over by Yerah by Yimatzeh? The chashvinan lei matzui. We don't have over here Ba'alus. All we have over here is a world of Matsui. You don't need Ba'alus to be over by Yerah by Yimatzeh. All you require is Matsui. All you require is Matsui. Namely, that we can be over by Yerah by Yimatzeh, even if it's B'dinei Mamonos, it doesn't belong to the Jew, but it's Matsui to the Jew. It's there to be collected if the Love, the Nachri, defaults. That's already enough. Namely, so we see over here that even though Tosos disagrees with the Rambam, he doesn't disagree on principle. Both the Rambam and Tosos agreed there's a category of Matsui. And Matsui is enough to bring you into the world of Bal Yerah Bal Yimatzeh. The question is, how do we view a Mashkon of a Yisrael in the hands of a Goy, where the Yisrael has the option of paying off the loan and it'll return to him? Is that Matsui or not? The Rambam says that's Matsui, and Tosa says that's not Matsui. That's not Matsui. Masha Einkein, the chametz of a goy in the hands of a Jew, which is going to belong to the Jew if the lova defaults, that's already considered to be Matsui. Namely, it's a question over here of the details of Matsui. It's not a question of, is there a din of Matsui or not? You don't need ownership to be over by Yerah by Yimatzeh. That's Tosa's pointing out over here. Mashkon shelo b'shas halva'a, that's balchov kone mashkon, that belongs to the Jew. There this Bal Yerah Bal Yimatzeh because it's in the bailus of the Jew. The mashkon b'shas halva'a, mashkon, the case of our Mishnah, Yisrael shiva yinachi alchemso, why aser b'hana'a? Because even though it doesn't belong to him, it's over al Bal Yerah Bal Yimatzeh, the chashvinan lei matzui. The resha is not matzui, the seifa is matzui. According to the Rambam, the only way of making the Reisha not Matsui is by making the Zman Piraon before Pesach. Were the Zman Piraon to be after Pesach, and the Jew could be poeted at any moment he wants, that's already considered to be Matsui. Namely, over here, the question is not whether there is a din of Matsui or not, but simply the whole Machlokas Rambam and Rabbeinu Ephraim, on one hand, and Tosfos, Rashi, Ran, Rosh, etc., is how do we define the din of Matsui? How do we define the din of Matsui? What category, what cases does it include? What cases doesn't it include? Tosis then points out, V'chein yesh lefarish b'hashaleach, gabi malva al ha-mashkon, eino mishamet midrab Yitzchak, and the Gemara over there is talking about al ha-mashkon, namely a mashkon b'shas halva, and Rav Yitzchak's din is a din in shalom b'shas halva. How can the Gemara compare apples and oranges? Tosis says the same thing, keivan dekoni le shalom b'shas halva, mikri shalachicha b'yadcha. In the world of Shemitah, we don't necessarily need that the loan that the loan be abrogated. It's enough if the loan is already considered to be nogus, it's already considered to be partially collected, it's already considered to be potentially collected. So over here in the Mashkon, in the world over there in the world of Shemitah, the moment we have a mashkon on a loan, in achinami, the mashkon doesn't belong to the malve. That's only a mashkon shelo b'shas halva. B'shas halva doesn't belong to the malve, but it's enough to break Shemitah. It's enough that it's considered to be shelachicha b'yadcha, that there's already a partial collection. So just as in the world of Shemitah, you don't need necessarily kinyan, so also in the world of Bal Yerah Bal Yimatzeh, you don't need kinyan. That's what Tosfos over here is pointing out. So just to put this into perspective, We have in the Mishnah a Reisha and a Seifa. We have the Reisha deals where the Yisrael is the Lova, the Nachri is the Malva, and we have a Mashkon that the Nachri gives, that the Yisrael gives to the Nachri. And we say that in this case, Ein Ba'yira'a U'ba'yimasa. Why is that? So either we have the din of Abaye, we don't even need a mashkan, we simply have a din of Ba'akov, the Mafreya Bugova, or we have the din of Rava, and we have over here Ein Me'acha. We have over here a din of Me'achshav. The common denominator between these two over here is that the Mafreya, we have over here a kinyan of the Nachri, either the din of Abaye or the din of Rava. The Mafreya, we have a kinyan of the Nachri, and therefore there's no Ba'i Rava Ba'i Matze. This is the way that 90% of Rishonim learn the Mishnah. The Rambam learns the Mishnah that Ein Ba'yira'a U'ba'yimatzei, because in this situation, the Zman Pira'on is Kodem Pesach. So therefore, the Nachri is the Ba'alim of the Chametz on Pesach. We have to add in this. Why over here does the Rambam have to add in Zman Pira'on Kodem Pesach? So we suggested that in this situation, according to the Rambam, if we had this case where this man, Tira'on, is the Achar Pesach, so according to the Rambam, this would be considered to be Matzui. The Jew can always be Poda his Mashkon, so it's Enachinami, the Vilus is out of the good. There's no, but this is Matzui to the Jew, it's enough to be Matzui. Masha Ein Kain, according to the other Rishonim, this is not Matsui. This is the Machlokes between the Rambam and the Shaar Rishonim. This is Eino Matsui. The Rambam says it's Matsui because the Jew always has the ability of being Poda'id. This is similar to the world of Tanai. This is similar, the Jew is still in the picture, there's still a connection of the Jew, there's still a Zika of the Jew. That's his continued Matsui, according to the Rishonim. Matitom. This mashkan is in the hands of the goy. This is not considered to be matzui at all. The sefer of the Mishnah, we have the case where the Yisrael is the malve, the nachri is the love. The mashkan over here is going from the nachri to the Yisrael. Over here, the Mishnah says, yesh ba'yira u'ba'yi matzui. Pashtus of the Gemara is because of the din of Rabbi Yitzchak. Baal Chol Kone Mashkon. The Baal Chol over here is the Yisrael. He's the Malkut. Baal Chol Kone Mashkon. That's what the Gemara says. Tosfos asks, but this whole din is by a Mashkon Bishas Halva'a. Our Mishnah is a Mashkon. This whole din is a Mashkon Shelo Bishas Halva'a. Our Mishnah is a mashkon b'shas halva'a. Rav Yitzchak's din of Ba'chol Kone Mashkon is Shelo b'shas halva'a. Tosfos says that Rav Yitzchak turns a mashkon b'shas halva'a into being matzui. And this is according to all Rishonim. Namely, even the Rishonim will say over here, this is the case of Eino Matzui, this is the case of Matzui. Here the mashkon is in the hands of the Yisrael. This is the case of Matsui, that this mashkon is considered, it's not, doesn't belong the bailus to the Israel, but it's Matsui to the Israel. So we see that the question over here is in terms of defining Matsui. The Rambam says even the Reisha is Matsui, and therefore has to set it up as his Zman Pira'on L'Lifnei HaPesach. The other Rishonim say, no, this is the case of Eino Matsui. It's in the hands of the Goy. But over here, in the hands of the Yisrael, this is already, even though the Baigus is still that of the Goy on Pesach, but it's Matsui to the Yisrael on Pesach. That's already enough to bring you into the world of Bayir Matsui. So the whole question over here is one of Matsui. The Gemara in Daf Nevav Amud Beis, the Gemara of Hoil, simply points out that we can sometimes have a potential that would be considered to be the actual. But, you don't, but there the Gemara had a machlokas, whether it's mamono or gav mamono. Here you can say, no, to be mamono, for that you need a potential via dibur, you need something that's written in your reshus, v'chulei v'chulei, but in terms of ayurayu matzei, we have a din of matzui that we find in the world of achrayus, we have the din of matzui that we may have in the world of hefker, we have the world of matzui that we find in the Rambam in terms of tanai, and maybe over here, this world of matzui applies to the world of mashkon as well. That's what I would suggest in terms of trying to understand how to work around the sugya over here. This Tosa says black and white. This is, in other words, one Tosa says there's a din of matzui, so kind of that then the ratio there's no din of matzui because there's no bayir bayi matzai. And since the Magen Mishnah and the Raif, the Magen Mishnah and Rabbeinu David bring in the Gemara and Daf Nevav Amud Beis of Hoil, they reject that because this is not a case of Hoil, but perhaps we could bring that same Svara in terms of the world of Matsui. Okay, yeah.
Two questions. One is that we still don't understand how the Rambam read the Gemara, though. Maybe he's based on something else, but there's still a concern.
Why? In other words, that the Rambam... In other words, if the Rambam... If we're talking about Zman Piraon is before... Zman Piraon is before Pesach. The Zman Piraon is before Pesach. So then the question is, why then would you need the Gemara to bring in L'mafreya or Me'achshav? Right. So the Rabbeinu Manoach on the Rambam over there says that what the Rambam, in other words, again, it's an ukimta. It's a problem. That is a problem. How the Rambam, why the Rambam would need a mafreya or but me'achshav if everything is before Pesach in any case. Rabbeinu Manoach suggests an ukimta where the Jew told the goy. The Jew in the Reisha, he tells the Goy, look, if I don't pay you back before Pesach, please feel free to, you know, it's to sell my object, please feel free to give it away, etc. That's what the Rambam means by Zman Piron is Lifnei Pesach, namely that the Jew gave the Goy permission to dispose of the Mashkon if he wants to. And then, then we say, so once the Jew, once that the Goy had that permission, so then L'mafreya hu gove me'achshav, namely we view that as being ownership before Pesach. It wasn't as though we had total ownership, but we have over here a permission that would
if it's mekanon l'haba, then that also he has that permission.
But the language of the Rambam. The Zman we're talking about over here is not the Zman where the loan is due, but rather the Zman that the Goy can do with it what he wants. And then we say that L'mafreya would turn that into ownership. I'm not thrilled with it. In other words, I do agree with you that the Rambam has an issue in terms of the Sugya, but at least the Shita of the Rambam would be understood. The Sugya would have to be understood as some sort of Ukimta. That which pushes in this direction, as the Rambam says, that also hachametz mutar la'achar haPesach. That's, in other words, if we say that Zman Piron is after Pesach, wouldn't you have to say that it's going to be mutar the moment this Zman Piron comes about? Why immediately after Pesach? We're going to assume that the moment after Pesach, that's the Zman Piron. If the Zman Piron is a day after Pesach, 2 days after Pesach, chametz is only going to be mutar l'mafreya from that time onwards. In fact, the Rambam says, Mutar la'achar Pesach implies that everything that is into the in the picture is already taken care of before Pesach. Ushia osos manchakova kodem Pesach. So it's I agree with you. I'm not thrilled with the ukimta of the Merbin Manoach, but we'd have to find some sort of ukimta for the Rama within the sugya. Yes.
Tosos seems to say that it's matzoi because of the fact we have the concept of bachol kodem hashkan shalom shasalba.
Right.
Why do we need that? It's matzoi because, like Rebbe was saying, it's in his hands. But you need a. It's just a funny notion. There's a cave on there. We have the concept of bachol kodem hashkan. We have a Yitzhak, so we can say it.
No, because again. What this is the concept, this is what Tosas calls a number of other places, Olim Shibudei. Namely, that even though it's not his, but since we have a parallel case where it is his, we're going to view this as more than just it's in his hands. It takes it further. It's not ownership, Tosas' language is Kikonui. No. Yeshonu Lechoshvo Ki'ilu Hu Shalo. In other words, had Baal Chov not been Kone Mashkon, in Achinami, it's in his hands, but it's not necessarily. In other words, Matsui is not only a question of the physical location. Matsui is a question of a certain relationship. So we're saying the fact that we have a din of Bachov Kohen and Mashkon, that creates a different nature of a relationship when we have a Mashkon Shalom B'Shas Halva. That different nature of relationship would already be considered to be enough of a Matsui, but it wouldn't work on its own. Yes?
Another idea from the Rambam that we don't really find oil by.
Yes.
From the fact that oil only comes up by Nori Lay Matzah.
So that Tosas over there, if you look over there in the Vavim of Days, Tosas asked these questions, Dira Maskel Hoil. He was bothered, why don't, you know, like, where do we say Hoil and where don't we say Hoil? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, over there he asks, doesn't ask your question. Right. Right. So, a similar question. How far do we take the din of Hoil? But you're correct. I mean, that, you know, which the din of Hoil is brought over here in terms of the world of Ayir Rabbi Matzis. The language of the Gemara over there is Mamonehu, Mamonehu. Well, we want to, what I'm suggesting over here is to get away from Mamonehu. Mamonehu is that's rejected. You can't compare this Hoil to that Hoil. But on the level of Matsui, where we already find Tosas talking about Matsui as being a criteria. So then the question over here could be a question in terms of the degree of Matsui that we have. Okay, what we're left with is the, over here in the sugya that I asked you to look at, is the din of Baal Chov Kone Mashkon. Yes, Ephraim?
The Rambam says the payment date is before Pesach. See, you mean like on Erev Pesach, sometimes like right before Pesach? Yeah.
That's what it appears. In other words, that the Lova, the Jew, is already defaulting. Or the malva, depending which case you have. I'm sorry, the lova is already defaulting. The Jew is already defaulting before Pesach, and therefore defaulting before Pesach, and that's why we view it as, and that's why we view it as belonging to the Jew. Had, according to the Rambam, what we're pushing to saying is, had the date of Piron been after Pesach, then it was still been matzui to the Jew, even if it's in the hands of the goy. But since the Jew has the ability of paying off the loan, that's already enough of a connection to make it matzui. L'shita saramba, and the other rishonim again could disagree by saying no, there is no such din of matzui. Tosus over here, who says there is a din of matzui, would seem to imply it's a question of degree. Okay, what we're left with over here is in terms of this din of. Amar Rav Yitzchak Menayim LeBaal Chov Kone Mashkon. Here we have a number of questions. Firstly, what's the source of Rav Yitzchak's din? What's the diuk from the language of L'chatzi Etzdaka? Secondly, how far does Rav Yitzchak's din go? Does it apply to a Mashkon only Shelo B'Shas Halva, or even to a Mashkon B'Shas Halva? And thirdly, what are the ramifications of Baal Chov Kone Mashkon? What does it mean in terms of the at what point do we say that if this mashkon disappears, it's as though the loan is already paid? Are we dealing on the level of Gneva, Aveda, Ones, Vechule? All of these are Machlokos Rishonim. So let's take them one by one. Minayin leba'alchov shekone mashkon. Minayin leba'alchov shekone mashkon. So the Gemara says, sheneemar ulechati yetzdaka. How in the world do you see from these three words, ulechati yetzdaka, that ba'alchov kone mashkon? The Gemara says, im eino kone mashkon, staka minayin. Mikan leba'alchov shekone mashkon. What assumptions is the Gemara making in order to be able to build on this diuk of Uchati Yetzdaka? I sent you to Tosfos in Kedushin, Tosfos in Bez Metzia, Tosfos, I'm sorry, in Shavuos. Yes? Okay, so the second, in other words, says, V'yesh mefarshim d'lamikri tzedaka, El hanosein mishelo, kamot sadek mishelcha v'teinlo. Or it also says in Shavuos, lo mikri tzedaka elam kein machasro mamon. What are we talking about? We're talking about a malve who has a mashkon. He has the lova's pajamas. And before night, he goes to the lova and he says, here are your pajamas. So when the person does that, the Torah says, on this person, l'chati yetzdaka. This is viewed as though you're giving tzedaka. Why? Kaner'eh, that this mashkon is yours. And therefore, when you're giving it to him, lo mikri tzedaka, elam kein machasro mamon. Lo mikri tzedaka, elanosein mishalo. And we would not view it as tzedaka giving someone that which is his. We only view it as tzedaka giving someone that which is yours. That's not so clear that that's the definition of tzedaka. That, in other words, that you have to give something of yours that it should be tzedaka. The Rambam has in the Mishnah Torah a famous ladder of tzedaka. It's one of those things that even the UJA or the, you know, it usually prints up the Rambam's ladder of charity. And the highest level of tzedaka, according to Rambam, is what? Providing someone a job. You're not giving him, you're not losing anything. You're just giving him, you're giving him an etza or lehefech. You're making money off of him. Giving a person gainful employment, even though you're not giving him something of yours, you're not being machaser mamon, the Rambam calls that the highest level of tzedakah. So clearly the Rambam does not define tzedakah in this manner. But lehefach, we find the Rambam, Mamor Nevuchim, that defines l'chati et tzedakah in a totally different manner. Yes?
The tzedakah of the Rambam is, in terms of the word, tzedakah doesn't mean in Tanakh, stuff of what we would call charity or truma, it's more of an ethical thing.
That's the Rambam more Nevuchim. No, that the concept. But the Rambam is being medayik in the psukim in the more Nevuchim. He's being medayik in the psukim that the meaning of staka is not giving someone that which is yours or losing money on this deal. That's not part of the world of tzedaka. The Rambam defines over here three terms: chesed, mishpat, utzdaka. And he defines them very, 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 very beautifully. That let's work from the bottom up. That mishpat means what sort of a gift would we call mishpat, or what sort of a giving would we call mishpat? When there is a mida keneged mida, when you owe someone money and you pay him, that's mishpat. When someone, in other words, pum fakert, in other words, if someone hurts you and you punch him in the nose, that's mishpat. Namely, you give someone tit for tat. Mishpat, it could be latova, mishpat could be kara. That we're dealing over here with that which the person deserves. That which the person deserves, you give him, that's what we call mishpat. Chesed, on the other hand, an undeserved gift, right? That you simply give something to someone, you give something to someone who doesn't deserve it at all, what we call lifnim mishurat hadin, beyond mishpat, beyond the call of duty, that's what we call chesed. Chesed hu atava l'misha ein lo chok alecha klal. You don't owe him anything. You're giving him something that you don't owe. That's therefore anything that Kosh Baruch Hu gives us is automatically chesed. Kosh Baruch Hu doesn't owe us anything. So everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us is chesed. Chastei Hashem Azkir. Ogam chesed yibaneh, etc. However, tzedakah is of a totally different nature. Tzedakah, how you translate tzedakah into English according to the Rambam? No. It's not charity. What?
Justice,
I think, would be more mishpat. Justice is mida keneged mida. That's just. Someone worked for you, you owe him money. Right? Someone, you broke someone's window, you owe him money. That's mishpat. Chesed is, you just, you know, go ahead and give someone, you walk on the subway and someone puts out his hand and you put money in. That's chesed. Like, Kosh Baruch Hu gives us chesed. Yodecha, Kosh Baruch Hu just tosses out chesed left and right. What is it? Staka?
Righteousness,
right. And we're dealing over here with a certain moral impairment. We're dealing over here with doing something because it's right. Because this is what an ethical person should do. That's how he understands over here. In other words, that the staka is that which is ro'oi lezuva sechne ma'alot hamidot. In other words, if someone is ill and you cure him, because you know how to cure people, that's tzedaka. That's tzedaka. It's not, in other words, that he deserves to be cured. It's not that his curing is undeserved. Simply that you have a moral responsibility to use your, I could call it a Hippocratic oath, right? You have a moral responsibility to use your talents to help others. That moral responsibility, when you fulfill it, that's tzedaka. Because b'hashavas hamashkon ulechati yetzdaka. The tzedakah basically reflects upon the person who gives. Ki kishetelach b'derach malot hamidot asisa tzedek l'nafshecha hamaskelet kishilamta lachuka. Tzedakah is something that you're doing to a certain degree for yourself. You're doing it because it should be done, and therefore you are rising in the world, in the world of ethics. If Avraham Avinu believed that Kadosh Baruch Hu, that even though he didn't have a son, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that he's going to have the Yorish, the Eretz, v'chulei v'chulei, that's a tzedakah. Namely, it's a moral imperative to take one's belief all the way. And that raises Avraham in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes, or even in his own eyes. He's becoming a more ethical, righteous individual. So to return a mashkon that you know that this person needs, even though it was given to you by Beis Din, that's an ethical... That's a righteous act. It's not a lefnim mishurat hadin. It's not a mishpat, but rather it's a tzedakah. It's something that's the right thing to do. It's a righteous act. The question is, according to the Rambam, how he understood Rav Yitzchak. How he understood Rav Yitzchak. What?
You don't need
bailus for that at all, as he pointed out. Giving someone a job is not mishpat, it's not chesed. It's tzedakah. It's doing the right thing. It's like, you know, everyone quotes when Mr. Aaron Feuerstein mill burnt down in Malden, and he went ahead and he continued to pay all the people who had been working there before. That was a righteous thing to do. It wasn't chesed. In other words, it wasn't mishpat. It was tzedakah. Okay, so Baruch Hashem. Hopefully he will have his chelak yolam haba handed to him for being mekadesh shem shemayim. But that's the concept of tzedakah. That it's the right thing to do if these people have been working for you, so you continue to pay them even though they're no longer producing. But you know that's simply the right thing to do. The im eino kone mashkon staka menogon would have to be taken a step back, namely that if this really belongs to the person himself all along, so you're giving it to him, that's not staka, that's mishpat. Namely, you're giving him that which is his. The moment, however, we say that it really, in other words, the moment we're going to call it tzedakah would imply that you're doing something which is right. Namely, tzedakah doesn't necessarily have to be yours, but in this situation, if it wouldn't be yours, it wouldn't be tzedakah. If it wouldn't be yours, it would be mishpat. You have someone's pajamas, he has to go to sleep. So why do you give him his pajamas?
No, but the Torah says you're allowed to take a mashkon. So if you're allowed to take a mashkon, the fact that you're giving it back, whether it's yours or not, the fact that you're giving it back is tzedakah. Because
I hear.
It's mishachlel your nefesh, the way the Rambam says.
Okay.
But it's not, in other words, It's something that biyadcha la'asod. It's not something that...
I hear. So you're saying is that there are two ways of learning the Pasuk, Rav Yitzchak and the Rambam. The Rambam learns the Pasuk his way, but Rav Yitzchak really learned the Pasuk like Tosos. I mean, Tosos explained how Rav Yitzchak was Dorish the Pasuk, but it would not necessarily work according to the Rambam. Okay, we'll stop over here. What we have to see is the question of to which Mashkon does it belong. So over here, I sent you to the Rambam, what we have over here, Tosfos. Tosfos over here is quite clear. We have parallel Tosfos above Metzia and Kedushin and Shavuos. But Tosfos over here is really enough. But we have also the Rambam and the Magid Mishnah. See, look at the Magid Mishnah and the Rambam over there in Hilchos Ishus. In Hilchos Ishus, Perek Hey Halacha Kaf Gimel, see over there the Magid Mishnah. And then we have the question as to what are the practical ramifications, what sort of chiyuv do we have over here in terms of Gneva, Veda, and Onsim. So I sent you to Rashi above Metzia. We have the Rashi over here by us, Tosus over here by us, Kone Mashkon, the Rambam in Hilchos Schirus, the Ravid there, and the Ktsos. Thank you for printing the Ktsos Sifkatan Beis. I didn't realize it moved to Tzifkatan. That's the Ritva that I was referring to. He quotes over there the Shita.
That's the
Ksubas Gamad Aleph. Okay, this is Aleph. Okay, fine. It's part of Aleph. To say there. I thought, oh my goodness, I said Beis. So okay, so thank you for that. So we'll see these Mara Makomos, and then we'll move on to the Gemara, up to the Mishnah. I'll have to give you Mara Makomos on that sugi as well. Okay, so we should, on Wednesday. Wednesday is Yom Yerushalayim, so the davening takes a bit longer. I think it's starting also maybe a bit later. So Shir will be at 9:30 on Wednesday rather than at 9:15. Okay, so 9:30 should enable people to be able to get here. Thank you.